Retain and stuff, you say you need a bit of retain. Okay. Welcome to Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church to our evening gospel service. We trust the Lord will bless our coming together tonight, wherever you are, meeting in your home, whatever device you're looking on the service by tonight. We trust that the Lord will bless and undertake for every aspect of our service tonight. Let us bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to Thee tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we pray for help. And Lord, we pray for power in this meeting tonight. We pray that Thou wilt speak to every heart, that Thou wilt work in lives even tonight. And we pray that Thou wilt bring souls to know Thee and to trust Thee as their own and personal Saviour. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn tonight is a hymn from our own hymn book. It's on page 287, hymn number 276. If you have a hymn book at home, then you can look it up. Oh, now I see the cleansing wave, the fountain deep and wide. Jesus, my Lord, mighty to see it, points to His wounded side. 276. Unite together in prayer. Let us come before the Lord in prayer, and after His opening prayer we'll hear a word of testimony from our sister Kathy Roy, who will bring a testimony to us tonight. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to Thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, our God, that we come to a God who hears and a God who answers prayer. We thank Thee for all the blessings that Thou hast given to us and all the answers to prayer, even over past times. Lord, we thank Thee, O God, for Thy great mercy and Thy great love, even toward us. We thank Thee, O God, for the many answers to prayer, even during this crisis, even this pandemic. We thank Thee, O God, for many people who have recovered from it, of all ages across this world. And Lord, we remember too, especially those who have lost loved ones. We pray for comfort and help for them at this time. We pray that the presence of the Lord will be their portion, that they will know the Lord's nearness and the Lord's strength and the Lord's solace at this time. Lord, we are reminded constantly in these days that in the midst of life we are in death. And O God, we pray that men and women and young people across this world will seek the Lord while He is to be found and call upon Him while He is near. We pray that precious souls will be drawn to Christ. And even this night, O God, as the Word of God goes out, the word of testimony, the ministry and song, and the preaching of Thy word, that souls shall be drawn in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the needs of our congregation here, the church family in Ballygan. Meet the need of young, middle-aged and older. We pray that Thou wilt undertake for each one at this time. We pray that the comfort of the Scriptures will be their portion. And grant, O God, that they will receive help from Thee, even during these days. We pray for those in the church family and connected to it who are not seeing. We ask of Thee, O God, at this time, that Thou wilt cause them to consider their latter end and to turn in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for the working of Thy Spirit, and not only here in this place, but across the world, that men and women of every culture and creed will think upon the things of God, consider the Lord Jesus Christ, and turn to Him in repentance and in faith. Father, we do pray for our missionaries too, across the world. Especially remember this special request from Uganda. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt intervene in this case, that Thou wilt answer prayer at this time, that Thou wouldst bring healing and restoration to this one who is laid aside. Lord, we thank Thee that Thou art the great physician. We look to Thee for answers to prayer, even in this case. Remember others who have known bereavement. Lord, we pray for comfort for them in these days, that Thou wouldst remember them and that Thou wouldst bless them. Remember our leaders and our land too and our nation. And across the world, governments making decisions in relation to this pandemic. Lord, give wisdom, we ask of Thee. Bless all who are working the front line, doctors, nurses, care workers, key workers, right across, Lord, this particular time. We pray that Thou wilt meet their need and that Thou wilt bless them and that Thou wilt keep them safe and their families. Meet with us now in Thy presence and do us good. We'll be careful to give Thee the praise, the honor and the glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
I was born in 1957. I was brought up in Glengormley. I was the middle child of five. I have an older brother and sister and a younger brother and sister. We belonged to St. Bridget's Church of Ireland Church on the Ballyclare Road, where I would say we were all-rounders as we went to the Baptist Sunday School on a Sunday afternoon, and on Tuesday evenings we went along to the Gospel Hall meetings. Therefore, I would say I knew of God, but I didn't understand my need of God. Sadly, I lived a worldly life. It was not until 1981 when a woman, Anne, I worked with, really talked to me about my need to repent from my sins and be saved from the wrath of God. Anne introduced me to other girls in work that were Christians. They invited me to go to the Church of God in the Whitewell Road with them. I attended for a few weeks before I repented from my sins and accepted Christ as my Lord and Saviour. The Church of God was a great church for young ones. I had never been in a church like this before. Church on Sundays, prayer meetings on Monday. Tuesday evenings we had house prayer meetings for groups for doing the outreach work. Bible studies on Wednesday. Thursday was the campaigners. Friday was outreach work. Saturday afternoons we visited people who could not attend church through illness and old age. And then again the youth club on a Saturday evening. Something to do every day and keep you involved in the work of God. But sadly not to be, to my shame, for after 2 years I became a backslider over a boy, laughable now, for I don't know him now or where he is, but I do know where God is and I know God. I met Trevor on the 11th of November in 1985, yes, Remembrance Day, so I'll not forget him. We just seemed to head off straight away. We got married. And when I was pregnant with Samuel, my pregnancy wasn't straightforward and I had to spend some time in hospital. I remember lying in the hospital bed and starting to think about God and even reading the Gideon's Bible that was in the locker on my bedside cabinet. Sorry, I'm a bit nervous. Even though I was a backslider, I knew the importance of bringing up a child in the house of God. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." So straight away after Samuel was born, we went along to St. Andrew's Church, Presbyterian Church at Rosetta. In 1990, my father was ill and dying. I can remember the closeness of God then, even though I was a backslider. I remember how close I could come and feel comfort from God. Hebrews 13 verse 5 spoke to me, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." It was me who left God. God didn't leave me. I remember when Samuel was three, I started him to come to the Ballygown Free Presbyterian Children's Meeting. I can remember Seth Lancashire coming and getting them and lifting them up and putting them into the minibus and bringing them back home again. When I was pregnant with Natasha again, I had a difficult pregnancy. This meant Samuel might have missed Sunday school and church. So I sent him along to Ballygown Free Presbyterian Sunday School, as the minibus would pick him up and drop him off. When I was able, he stayed, and I came along to church here. Mr. Irwin was the minister of that time. When Natasha was born, we just stayed in Ballygown Free Presbyterian Church because I loved the preaching of the word here. Samuel became a Christian in 1995 March. A few weeks later, I returned to God. Jeremiah 3:22 told me, "Return ye backslider, and I will give heal your backsliding." Sorry. Timothy was born in 1999. We all continue to attend church here. 2004 was a year we would like to forget, as in September my mother-in-law died, aged 80. October my cousin died, aged 55. November our friend died, aged 37. December my niece died, aged 18. January 2005 my aunt died, aged 66. This tells me it doesn't matter what stage of life we're at, we need to be ready to meet the Lord. The Lord has been gracious to me. He has answered my prayers, and now Trevor has returned to the Lord. He has also blessed me with two beautiful granddaughters. I would like to thank the Lord for all the blessing he has given me in my life, and I dread to think where I would be if he wasn't in my life. I know we're living in uncertain times now. To those of you who have not asked Christ as your Saviour, I ask you seriously to think of where your latter end would be and where you're going to spend eternity. I plead with you, please, just trust in the Lord. Seek him while he may be found now. Thank you.
We're reading the Word of God from the Gospel of John, chapter 19. The Gospel of John, chapter 19. And reading together from the verse number 1. John chapter 19 and verse 1. When Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again, and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify, and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath a greater sin." From thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew Gabbatha. It was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two others with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. May the Lord bless to us the reading of His inspired and infallible Word. The hymns you hear in this service were sung at other occasions in our church. We will now hear a ministry and song from the Kingdom Heirs group who sang some time ago in our church as well.
Jesus saves, He still does. He'll make of you someone new, cleanse the sin that was. The Holy Spirit whispers, no more must you be enslaved, just believe it. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, He still does. Sin that was, the Holy Spirit whispers, no more must you be enslaved, just believe it. Jesus saves. We talk of heaven's beauty, and that's good. We talk of loving others, and we should. But to a dying world, the greatest thing that we can is take a look at Calvary. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, He still does. He'll make of you someone new, cleanse the sin that was. The Holy Spirit whispers, no more must you be enslaved, just believe it. Jesus saves. We have heard the joyful song. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. That was the Holy Spirit whispers, no more must you be enslaved, just believe it. Jesus saves. The Holy Spirit whispers, no more must you be enslaved, just believe it. Just believe it. Just believe that.
I want to turn your attention tonight to the Word of God in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, the portion we've read from this evening. Let us bow together in prayer. Our gracious God and loving Father, we come to the concluding part of our service tonight. We pray for help from heaven. We pray for power in the preaching of Thy Word. We thank Thee for the words of testimony from Thy servant we have heard tonight. And we praise Thee for the ministry and song from Thy servants. And we ask of Thee that Thou wilt bless the combined effort tonight in the gospel. But Lord, Thou hast ordained through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I am trusting Thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that Thou Thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. In recent weeks, we've been on the way to the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane and the anguish and the agony of that garden as that cup came before Him and as He sweat great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Last time we came to Gabbatha,
the judgment hall, the place where the Lord Jesus Christ was scourged, and the great suffering that he endured, the accusations of men against him as he went there to that judgment hall. And tonight we come to Golgotha, the place where the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for sinners such as you and I. We're thinking tonight here of John 19, verses 5 and 14. Verse 5 says, "Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man." And then on down to verse 14. It was the preparation of the Passover at about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." The death of the Lord Jesus Christ lies at the very heart of the gospel message. The suffering and shame that Christ endured is something strikingly significant. It is weighty with spiritual truth. As we consider Christ who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, may our hearts be challenged by the greatness of his love toward sinful men such as you and I. The precious blood that he shed for our redemption. The finished work upon that cruel tree for our salvation. It is our desire that even now our souls will be turned away from the things of time and sense, from the sinful things of this world, to look to Christ, and that tonight you might look with that look of faith and be saved from wrath to come. As we look at these verses in this context of Holy Scripture tonight in John chapter 19, as I've been thinking upon these words, I find myself held to one special purpose, namely this, that the Holy Spirit, whose task it is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, might reveal to us the person of the Savior, who is not only Savior, but is also Lord. Let us not try to separate the Saviorhood of Christ from his sovereignty. Just because we are familiar with our need of him as our Savior, it is essential that we also consider the Lord Jesus Christ in his sovereignty. And how vital it is tonight, dear friends, to have a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, due to him in his sovereignty, so that we might consider with you tonight the aspect of kingship, the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ in those few hours at the close of his life upon this earth, when we find him named king more frequently than throughout the whole years of his earthly ministry. And I believe here, in essence, we find all that his kingship and sovereignty implies still today. And oh, that he might become king of your life tonight. That he might reign upon the throne of your heart. That he might become your king, even this evening, as you listen to God's word. Christ the King. There are three things that I want to particularly focus upon as we think about this theme tonight. First of all, his presentation as king. Look at verse 14 again. "Behold your king." And it was the same Pilate who said earlier in the chapter, "Behold the man," who said here in verse 14, "Behold your king." If contempt and cynicism tinged the cowering of his words, was there not as well an uncanny and an easy feeling that what he was saying was the sober truth? His presentation as king. What happened at that moment was but the bringing into sharp and clear focus for a moment something that had become apparent ever since the Lord Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. I find in the record of the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, a sovereignty that men felt when they met Him. You remember there in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, if you care to turn to it, there's two verses there that I want to turn your attention to. The second chapter of Matthew, and first of all, in the verse 2. These wise men, of course, that's the context, they came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is He that is born King of the Jews? Where is He that is born King of the Jews?" They were looking for the King. They were looking to come and to worship the King. And then down that same chapter, Matthew 2, verse 11, when they were come into the house, this is to visit the young child. By this stage they had found Him. The star had brought them to that place. They saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped Him. And when they'd opened their treasures, they presented to Him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And here they worshipped Him as King. They presented the gold, the frankincense, and myrrh. They worshipped the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as it was at the beginning of His pilgrimage of life, so it proved in the end. When on the cross itself, the penitent thief, He turned to the dying Son of God with this prayer, "Lord, remember me." Listen. "When Thou comest into Thy kingdom," at that hour when the hatred of man had done its worst, when even His disciples had forsaken Him and fled, this dying thief, he suddenly saw that Christ was no criminal going to His doom, but rather He was a King marching to His throne. And in Bethlehem and at Calvary and in between, from time to time, the sovereignty of Christ seemed to break through clearly, and men felt it and knew it. After the feeding of the 5,000, we read that Jesus perceived that they would come to take Him by force and make Him a King, as if to suggest that they had recognized something in Him that fitted Him for kingship. You remember on that day of His triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the anthem that the crowds chanted was, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord." And as we sense that men were aware of His sovereignty, when the mother of James and John requested, "Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on Thy right hand and the other on the left, in Thy kingdom," there was this sovereignty that was felt when men met Him. But secondly, there was the authority that men found when they met Him and heard Him. You see, my friends, a king is invested with authority that exacts obedience. He rules, or he is not a king. And they found authority in the words that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke. He, Jesus, taught them, the Bible says, as one having authority. They found authority not only in the words that He spoke, but in the works that He did. The Bible tells us with authority commanded He even the unclean spirits, and they obeyed. With what authority calmed He the storm on the Sea of Galilee? The Bible tells us again, they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and sea obey Him?" And as Pilate brought the Lord Jesus Christ forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe and presented Him with the words, "Behold your King," he was only bringing into sharp focus the truth that men were already beginning to grasp, that Jesus Christ was indeed King. But look for a moment at that crown It is a crown of thorns. And look at that purple robe. It is a tattered tunic that the Lord Jesus Christ wore, but He was King and He is King. Is He your King tonight? Is He King of your life? Do you recognize Him as King? Has He been revealed to you through Scripture as King, as the Holy Spirit brought this truth to your heart? Even tonight, if not, it is my earnest prayer that it will be so now. That He will reign upon the throne of your heart and be Lord of your life even tonight. But the second thing is this, His humiliation as King. For if Pilate named Him King, others would name Him thus. But only in jest or in hate. In ignorance, the soldiers named Him King. As they scourged Him and smote Him, as His blood flowed down from the cruel stripes that they laid upon His back. Those soldiers in cruel ignorance, they referred to Him as King, King of the Jews. They put a reed in His hand, fit symbol for so stable a power. The purple robe, the royal purple, was put upon Him, the crown, a crown of thorns. And with that, the investiture was complete. The room was filled with merriment. They urged them to bow the knee to Him in derision. They referred to Him as King. And they spat in His face, and they smote Him on the head, and they plucked the hairs from His cheeks. And so He stood with the blood from those wounds mingling with the spittle of those ignorant people. His only prayer for them later would be, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But while He stands, and while the taunts are flung at Him from every hand and from every side, somehow the taunts seem to merge into truth. And the sheer sovereignty of a King seems to break through all of those insults. The ignominy, the shame, the humiliation. The King. The King. The Lord Jesus Christ is truly King. Is He your King tonight? And then in their impenitence, the scribe named Him King. No longer in the common hall, but on the very cross, they taunted Him, they scorned, they spurned Him. They rejected Him, they refused Him, they reviled Him, they ridiculed Him. We read in Scripture likewise also the chief priests and the scribes and elders mocking Him said, He saved others, Himself He cannot save. If He be the King of Israel, let Him come down now from the cross and we will believe Him. And the man whose pride resented with bitter hate this person and his message that condemned them, that threatened their position and the power that they had. But not content, the wrong, the crime to which they were parties, they must come and taunt the dying Son of God, the King. They cried, the King of the Jews. Christ the King. They thought that He had disposed of this disturber once and for all. The title of scorn hardened into a title of truth. Disposed of maybe, but not destroyed. And maybe in your ignorance and in your impenitence, you've been humiliating Christ the King. And you cry as these people did so long ago, away with Him, crucify Him. You've no time for Christ. You've no regard for Christ. You've no reverence for Christ. You refuse to worship Christ. But Christ is King, my friend. Put Him upon the throne of your heart. Turn from your sin. Turn from your rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn from your evil ways. Turn in faith to Christ tonight and be saved from a Christless eternity. Trust in His atoning blood. Know what it is
to be saved by His matchless grace. But then we have thirdly His exaltation as King. We see His exaltation, the exaltation of the King right here in this rapid sequence of incidents. It started right here on the cross with the thief crying, the penitent thief crying, "Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom." You see, my friend, this man could see and would worship the King marching to His throne. Do you see Him as King tonight? Will you cry out, "Lord, remember me," as that dying man did? Will you cry out as he did tonight? The centurion saw Him as King. When the centurion and they that were with him saw these things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." They recognized Him. Later in the glory of the resurrection, Mary would be at His feet and crying out, "Rabboni," or "Master." Thomas, the doubter, when he saw the riven side of Christ and the nail prints in His hands, he said, "My Lord and my God." The start of His exaltation. A trickle, my friend, that was to become a flood. And so on earth, the exaltation of Christ as King, as Lord, as a sovereign began. What happened on earth was but a reflection of what was going to happen in heaven. For because Christ had humbled Himself and become obedient unto death, as Philippians 2 teaches us, God highly exalted Him and gave Him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. You see the start of His exaltation. You see the sweep of His exaltation. The New Testament catches up the conception of Jesus Christ not simply as Savior, but as Lord. Is He your Lord tonight? Is He King of your life? Crown Him with many thorns, the Lamb upon the throne. Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Will you crown Him Lord of all in your life tonight? Hymn writer penned those beautiful words, "King of my life, I crown Thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget Thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary." I ask again tonight, is He King of your life? Does He reign upon the throne of your heart? Who is it or what is it that reigns in your life? That sinful pleasure? Something of this world. No time for Christ. Room for Jesus, King of glory. Oh, that you might have room for Him tonight. The Son of God, the King of kings and Lord of lords. His sovereignty means that every part of my life is brought under His control. Every moment of my life is to be lived as He shall choose. His control takes over from mine. I follow Him. I do not do what I choose to do. I do what He tells me to do. I live my life in obedience to Him. Crown Him Lord of your life tonight. Crown Him Lord of all. Say with one of old, "O come and reign, Lord Jesus. Rule over everything and keep me always loyal and true to Thee, my King." You come to Him tonight. The father of our present Queen Elizabeth died when she was abroad. She seemed then just such a young girl. And she was. She came back to take up the crown from her father. that he had laid down in death. Still living at that time was her grandmother, Queen Mary. She wrote a letter to the new Queen Elizabeth, so young, who had to bear the weight of that crown so early in her life. The letter was full of love and sympathy. It was the contents of the letter that seemed to be so important. And also the way it ended. It ended like this. Your loving grandmother and devoted subject. Your loving grandmother and devoted subject. Such a young girl. But Queen Mary, her grandmother, was her devoted subject. I offer you tonight, not a young girl, an earthly queen, or an earthly king even. One robed in purple, who came with a crown of thorns, who was presented to the people as your king. Behold your king. Is he your king tonight? If not, will you make him your king right now? Will you give up your sin? Will you turn from your worldly pleasures? The beggarly elements of this world? Turn to Christ tonight. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him, crown him, crown him, Lord of all. May he become Lord of your life tonight. Bow the knee to Christ. The story is told when Robert Bruce was fleeing from the English. When they invaded Scotland, he came to a poor old Highland woman's house and asked her for a night's lodging. "Who are you?" said she. "I am a stranger and a traveller," said the king. "All strangers and travellers are welcome here," she said, "for the sake of one." "And who is he?" asked the king. "Our good King Robert the Bruce," said she. "And no, he is hinted or hunted and hounded. I acknowledge him to be the rightful king of all Scotland." She could not enthrone him except in her heart, but she would if she could. And in his rejection, she acknowledged her as her rightful king. Do you acknowledge Christ as your rightful king tonight? The one who should rule in your heart and life. The one who would be your Savior this evening. Oh, that you might come to him tonight and trust him as your Lord and Savior. Don't delay. Don't put it off for another moment. Don't say, "Well, he can become king some other time." No. Today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Don't remain in your sin a moment longer. Don't stay outside of Christ for another night. But trust him now. Believe him now. Rest in his finished work. He went all of this lonesome road to Calvary for you. To Gethsemane. Through all of that agony and anguish there. To Gabbatha, through all of the accusations that were made against him there and the scourging that was done there. And now to the cross, where he died upon that cruel tree. He died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And he shed every drop of his blood, that sinners might be saved and cleansed from every sin. Will you trust Him now, dear friend? Will you reach out that hand of faith and take the hand, the nail-pierced hand of the Lord Jesus Christ? Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. Will you do that now? Friend, I did it over 50 years ago. I've never regretted for a single moment. Thank God you can be saved as I was. You can trust in the same Savior. He can become your King tonight. The King of your life. Behold the King. May the Lord bless His Word to your hearts tonight. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight Thou wilt work in the hearts of those, O God, who have heard Thy Word. And we pray that tonight some needy soul will come to Christ. Some man, woman, young person, hearing this service, will come to the Savior. Behold the King, and trust Him that He might be their King even tonight. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're turning to our closing hymn tonight in our hymn book. It's number 269 and page 284. I've wandered far away from God, now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod, Lord, I'm coming home. Could I say to you tonight? I trust you'll make the words of the chorus your prayer. Coming home, never more to roam. By Thy grace, I will be Thine, Lord, I'm coming home. Do join in the singing where you are tonight. Page 284, hymn number 269. That how you feel tonight? Is your soul sick? Sick with sin? Is your heart sore? Are you coming home tonight? And we'd sing verse 4 and verse 6 because you need the cleansing blood. That's what you need tonight. And I trust you'll make these words indeed your prayer as we sing them.
Oh.
you for joining in our service tonight. We appreciate you linking on and watching at home, wherever you are, and whatever device you're watching on tonight. Trust the Lord will bless you. Do remember, during the week we ask you to pray each day at 2 p.m. wherever you are. Also on Tuesday night is our weekly prayer meeting. And in your homes we ask you to join with your family or as an individual to pray and to seek the Lord's face. Remember to join us online next Lord's Day again at 11:30 a.m. Do join us then. We give you updates on Facebook and our WhatsApp group for any updates of the situation or meetings concerning the church and how you can link in and all, to all of these. Most of all, if you're troubled about your soul tonight, you're concerned about these issues we've been speaking about, eternal issues, do please text or call us or email us, whatever way you can, and we'd be happy to speak with you, to show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. Don't leave it another moment, but come and trust Christ even tonight. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we ask of Thee that Thou wouldst bless Thy Word to every heart. O God, speak on when the voice of man is silent, and work, Lord, in hearts even tonight, drawing precious souls to know Thee and to trust Thee as their Lord, their Saviour and Redeemer. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.